some of you may not know this, but Alan, Mr. Figgy over here, has been praying for me for a long time. You see, Alan, among some other folks in this congregation, were part of the youth team back when I was in youth. Yes, I went to youth here as a young lad. I grew up here mostly. In fact, I'm going to share some stories from back then this morning. But, you know, Alan praying for me and then the song we just sang made me think of something that is related to our topic this morning. But, you know, we just sang the song Holy, 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 and the first line in the first verse is, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. And if you don't know, Alan is an early riser. And we were just talking about this in discipleship hour earlier. But Alan, I remember any time in youth group when we would go on some sort of a trip, whether it be a convention or a winter retreat or whatever weekend or week-long trip, I always remember if I ever got up early, like before everyone else, I always remember that I could go to wherever the common space was, whether it be a lobby or you know, the cafeteria or whatever it was, and I could find Alan there because Alan was always up before all the youth. And those were some of my favorite memories, were going into that space early in the morning because I usually was, I was too excited to sleep or something crazy because I was kind of a crazy young lad. I know, shocking. But those are some of my favorite memories, are just being up early and Alan would be drinking coffee. Of course, I didn't drink coffee back then because I hadn't grown up yet. But you'll get there, Bob. Maybe one day you'll grow up. But anyway, that's a special memory that I have from back then. And that kind of ties into what we're talking about this morning, which is landmarks. You know, we're in the series, This Is My Story. And this morning I wanted to talk about landmarks in our life. And I thought of this because last week we sang a song called Come Thou Fount. And in that song, there is a line, here I raise my Ebenezer. And Ebenezer is a weird word, and Daniel kind of touched on it briefly. But a lot of people don't know what Ebenezer is or where it comes from. Yes, like Daniel said, it's not referring to Ebenezer Scrooge, like from A Christmas Story. Or Christmas Carol, or whatever that's called. It's referring to a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. In fact, it's in 1 Samuel that this is talked about. I'm not going to read the whole story, because really, to get a full context for what Ebenezer is, it takes about 3 chapters, and I don't really want to stand up here and read 3 chapters. But you can go read it yourself if you desire. It's 1 Samuel 4 through 7 kind of captures this whole single story of the Ebenezer. But basically, it's a story of sin. It's a story of defeat. It's a story of repentance. And ultimately, it's a story of God's grace. And what happens in the story, essentially, after God has been gracious to the Israelites again, Samuel sets out to build an altar of remembrance, to remember what God has done. In fact, he says that he builds this altar and says, the Lord has helped us. And so he sets it up. And Ebenezer is simply a word which means a stone of help. And so he set some stones together to build this Ebenezer. So when we sing, here I raise my Ebenezer, it's a story of remembrance. It's claiming that we're setting aside an altar. We're creating a landmark to remember that the Lord has helped us. I don't know about you, but I feel like most of us have landmark moments in our lives. Some are good, some are bad. Whether you've marked them in stone or with some other type of physical marker, I think that each of us probably have these markers kind of set aside in our mind. Am I right, or is it just me? You guys have some kind of landmark moments that you look back and say, man, that is the moment that things changed. Yeah. Some of these moments affect us probably more than we realize. Some of these moments we had control over and we chose. Some of them we had no control over and didn't choose. Some of them we really had no say. They're just things that kind of happened to us. But we all have those moments. some of the moments, like I just said, you remembered or played a part in. And I just wanted to share some of my moments that I thought of in preparing for this morning. The first moment that I really feel like was a landmark moment is probably similar to a lot of you in this room. And it's the time that I really dedicated myself to Christ. It wasn't as early as... it was pretty early in my life, but I remember when I was seven, I was here for like a vacation Bible school, and I remember I was up on this platform right here, and we had there was the old, like, who wants to invite Jesus into your heart kind of moment, and I raised my hand and did the thing and whatever, and that was a moment, but I really don't, really not a lot changed in my life at the ripe old age of seven. I'm just standing here in front of you realizing that my daughter is seven, and now I'm having a moment. Whew. Didn't even think about that in preparing for this. Oh boy, life's a mystery. But anyway, the moment that I really remember, the landmark moment that I dedicated myself for Christ, was at, as I already mentioned, one of the aforementioned winter retreats that we did as a youth group. We went to a place called Camp Tecumseh. And I really don't remember a whole lot about the weekend. I don't remember a lot about the speakers or I don't even know where Camp Tecumseh is, to be honest. I've never thought about it again or looked it up. I have no idea. Does anybody know where that place is? Anybody heard of that space? I don't know. Cool. Whatever. Anyway, we were there. And I was just 12. I didn't know anything. But I remember I was so profoundly impacted by the weekend that I thought, you know what, this thing's for real, and I want to dedicate myself to this. And while at the age of 12, there still was so much I didn't know, that is a landmark in my life that I can look back and say, from that moment on, I was pretty committed. Sure, I had my ups and downs like everybody else, but that was a moment, that was a landmark moment for me. Another moment came shortly afterwards. It was the same year when I was 12, and I was really early for this, but it's a landmark that is set aside in my mind. I was at Camp Challenge, another kind of retreat getaway in the summer of, well, I don't know what year it was. I was 12, so whoever knows how old I am, they can do the math. Doesn't matter. But I remember there was a moment where we were having different prayer groups, and I was helping different people and just sharing with folks about Christ. And I thought, man, this would be a cool thing to do. And so I dedicated myself to ministry that summer. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I was 12. I was probably 13 by this time. But there was a lot of things that I didn't know. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know if that meant I was going to be vocationally in ministry or if I was going to just do it as a part of my profession. I didn't know. Didn't matter to me, but I know that in my mind that is a landmark that I have set aside where I decided I am going to spend my life serving Christ, ministering, however that looks, wherever God leads. And that's a landmark moment to me. The next moment that I recall is a bit sappier, and I'm sorry. But it's the time in my life when I decided I was going to ask Jenny to marry me. And of course, again, I was just a kid, really. I think I was 18 when we proposed. I might have not even been 18. No, I was 18 for sure. Yeah. I was young. I didn't know much, but I remember that I took the time to really think about and pray about whether or not this was where God was leading me. In fact, I remember I even took time to fast. I don't remember how long. I don't remember details about a lot of things. But I remember I took it seriously, and I really felt like this was something that the Lord was calling me to do, and that this was the path that He had for me. And I look back, I can remember very vividly being in my dorm room at college and very fervently praying about whether or not this was something I should do. And that's another landmark moment for me. It changed everything, right? Like that set the course of my life. And the last one I hadn't thought about until recently, but I randomly shared it this past Wednesday night in our group, and several people were like, "Huh, I didn't know that. I never heard that." And I thought, "Man, this was an impactful moment for me that I really haven't shared with many people. I hadn't really thought about it. I don't know." But in the summer of 2008, I went with a youth group. I guess I was traveling with Eastside, Church of God from Anderson. I was on staff there. And we went to the International Youth Convention in San Antonio, I believe. And there was a speaker there by the name of Becky Tirabassi. And she talked about spending an hour every day in prayer. And I don't know about you, but I struggle sitting and spending an hour sitting and doing anything, much less praying or reading. I'm just not much of a sitter. I don't like to be still and not be doing things. But man, it really struck me as something that I was like, you know what? I should try this. This seems like something that I want to give a go. And I will tell you that I tried it for a period of time, and I have not done it since. I don't spend an hour every day in isolated prayer, so don't think I'm some big hero, because I'm not. But after that convention, I dedicated probably, I don't know, 3 to 4 months where I did. I went and I had a special place that was actually tucked back into a corner of Anderson University where nobody else went. And I went there and I spent an hour every day in prayer and reading scripture. And sometimes I would just walk in circles and talk to myself. You know, the things normal people do. But I had a big decision to make. I was graduating in the spring of 2009. And this would be, you know, leading up into the new year, going from 2008 to 2009. Jenny and I were already married at the time, and we had to make a decision of what we were going to do once I graduated. I had a nice job at Eastside where I was working in the youth ministry, but we weren't crazy about living in Anderson. We kind of wanted to move back to Indy. We just didn't know. We didn't know what we were going to do. And so I just dedicated this time to seek the Lord's advice and guidance and what should I do. And it was in this time where I really felt the Lord leading me and Jenny to move to Indy, to the inner city, and to work with this ministry that I had kind of helped start with Derek and Laura Abner called Dat House. And I had no clue what that was going to lead to. I didn't know what the Lord had in mind. But when I look back, it was in those moments that I see as a landmark that God was leading us to something that has become what it is. You know, now we've been living in the neighborhood for over 10 years. Dat House has a whole lot of people involved, and we do some work that I'm really passionate about, and I think that the Lord is really, really leading, and it's awesome, and I love it, and I'm so thankful that we get to do what we do. But I look back and I think, man, it was in those moments that was a landmark. That was our Ebenezer that led us to where we are. And it certainly wasn't easy. You know, when we first moved to Indy, it was really hard on Jenny and I. We had a lot of obstacles to overcome. But the Lord has been faithful and He has helped us to where we are today. I don't know if you have landmarks like that that you can reflect on, but I hope you do, and I hope you will take some time, maybe today or tomorrow or hopefully soon, where you think about the landmarks that God has placed in your life, where you can see that God has been moving and active. There's another type of landmark that we don't often think about, I especially don't think about, but there are some things that you had no control over, things that were done unto you. The kind of the most basic and simplest one is where you were born. You had no choice in that. You just were born somewhere. You had no choice whether you were born in this country, whether you were born in a developing country, whether you were born in a wealthy family or a impoverished family. You didn't choose that. But the fact remains the same, is that God has been moving in all of it, whether you chose it or not. I didn't choose in my life personally that my family would move back to Indiana after my dad retired from the military in whatever year, 97. They chose. I didn't have any say in it. to move back to Indiana. In fact, I remember being very upset because I had friends where we lived, and I was 10 years old, and I didn't want to move. But you know what? The Lord was with me, and He was with our family, and it was something that has changed my life, and I think for the better. That's a landmark moment in my life that I had nothing to do with. Another thing that I didn't choose that was chosen by my parents is that when we moved back, my parents decided that we were going to attend Meridian Church of God. That seems to have mattered. I think that if that wouldn't have happened, well, a lot of my other landmarks that I talked about probably wouldn't have happened. I'm sure other nice things would have happened, but you know, like, there are so many moments that I see in life that were impacted by because of being in this congregation, and that was a choice that I did not make. It was something that was done unto me. It's weird to think about moments like that, to think about the things that God has brought you through, whether you chose them or not. But I think it's important for us to reflect on those stories and to remember those landmarks in moments when life is hard, when things maybe aren't going our way. But just as Samuel built this Ebenezer, these landmarks remind us of God's faithfulness. They remind us of how God is a God who helps in times of need. What's cool is that not only do we have our stories to reflect on as landmarks in our life, the neat thing is, as the church, we get to come together and we get to share each other's stories. We get to be a part of each other. As a church, we get together and we share stories about the good things that God has done, just as I have done now with you. Most of those stories you'd probably never heard. But we get to do those. Some people might refer to these as testimonies. Other people might just refer to them as sharing life together. But it is a gift of the church. It's a gift of community, really, for us to come together and share these moments where God has impacted us in a way that was truly miraculous at times, where God orchestrated something that otherwise maybe seemed impossible. That is such a gift that we have here. And I hope that as of a result of today, not only will you reflect on your own landmarks, but my hope is that we'll take more time to share stories with one another so that we can not only stand on the foundation of our own landmarks, but we can build that foundation of each other's landmarks so that we can be encouraged by one another. Not only that, you thought that was all right. You got all that, you got your own landmarks. We got each other's landmarks, which we can use to build a foundation of hope. But y'all, literally, this is what the Bible is. The scriptures are just chocked full of these stories of people who, like in 1 Samuel, sin, defeat, repentance, and grace. I mean, it's just all over the thing. The Bible is a collection of stories that show how God has intervened with humanity throughout history. It's awesome. I mean, it's just so cool when we read the stories and we see what people have come through. Just as Hebrews 11, it says, Hebrews 12, since we have these cloud of witnesses, you know, we can stand up on their shoulders. We can stand up on these landmarks, look back and say, man, God is good. So now we have not only our own landmarks and each other's landmarks. And I kind of forgot to mention of all the other landmarks in history that we can look back on in between us and, you know, Jesus. But then we have all of these landmarks where we can look in the scriptures and see God's goodness, God's grace, God's hope throughout all of it. So that's like one landmark, two landmark, three, four. I don't know, it's a bunch. It's a lot of landmarks that we have that we can look on. When we reflect on these landmarks, not only ours, but all the ones I've mentioned, we can collectively build the narrative of the church. And this narrative, as I've said, is a narrative of sin, defeat, repentance, and grace. This is our story. And this story doesn't just encourage us, which it does, which is awesome, but it's also the gospel. This is the gospel for us to share our stories of sin, defeat, repentance, and grace. God is a God in the midst of all of it. And by sharing our story, we share hope. 1 Peter 3:15 says that always be prepared to give an account for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And the hope is simply our landmarks, our stories, our past, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's a story of sin and defeat and repentance and grace. But we don't just share this hope like willy-nilly just by being out and living. We share it by being reflective. It's only through reflection that we remember these landmarks. It's only by being reflective that we're able to share, because oftentimes, as you know, life gets busy and these stories get lost. Just as what happened to me on Wednesday night when we were in that meeting and I began to share this story from 2008, and I thought, man, I haven't thought about that in years. And somehow, by our conversation, it just popped in my brain. And then when everyone in the room was like, people that I know well, was like, oh, I'd never heard that before. I thought, oh, well, that's dumb. This is a cool landmark in my life. Why have I not told people about that? You see, it's through reflection that we can hold these landmarks close and that they can give us hope in times that might otherwise seem hopeless. These landmarks, including our stories, other stories, history stories, and the stories in the scripture, are our best tool for not only encouraging and building each other up, but also by sharing the gospel in a world that often seems hopeless. See, our stories of hope are human stories. They're real stories. Oftentimes when we hear stories about people far away, whether it be a long time ago in history or whether it be something in the news, it can seem either aloof or it can seem irrelevant. It can seem unhuman, if you will. It's just a thing, you're right. It's just not us. It's almost like it's not really happening. But when we share our stories, when we share our landmarks, it is our best and most powerful tool. So, that's my story. This is our story. A story of highs and lows, a story of landmarks, a story of moments in life that have changed things. And this is the gospel. A story of sin and defeat. A story of repentance and grace. My hope this morning is that you'll not only reflect on your own landmarks, but that you'll share your landmarks and likewise hear the moments in each other's lives where things changed. And then lastly, of course, last but not least, certainly, is to reflect back on all of those landmarks that we have in the scriptures. All the moments that we see that we can look to and reflect on how good God is. My prayer is that if we do this, we will continue to become the people God created us to be. And I think maybe, just maybe, the kingdom of God will come a little closer. Will you pray with me? God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for what you have done. Not just in our lives, not just in the lives of our friends and family that we know and love, and not just in the lives of all of those
throughout history who have been called according to your will. We're thankful for all the stories that you have given us. We're thankful for all the landmarks. We're thankful for those moments that we can look back and we can know without a shadow of a doubt that you were working in our midst and that you carried us through. That you brought us to something better because we trusted you, because we reflected on who you are and who you're calling us to be, and because we listened. God, I ask that you would just this morning help us to take some time to be reflective. To take some moments, whether it's now or later today or sometime throughout the week, to think back on what our landmarks are. And may those landmarks just set a spark inside of us that would remind us how good you are, that would fill us with hope and joy and peace, and that would get us just excited, God, to share your goodness with others, whether in word or deed or both. May your love and goodness just ooze out of us as we are overflowed with the hope that comes from remembering who you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, God, for this church. God, I thank you for this congregation that has been so pivotal in most of the landmarks in my life. I thank you that you have allowed the ministry of this church to move on and move forward faithfully for years and years and years. Way more than I've been around. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength and the focus to work and to move. To live in your grace and to love in your power, God. We thank you, God. We can't ever say it enough. Thank you, God, for what you've done. It's in your name we pray. Amen.